The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Samach, and we are about seven lines from the bottom of daf Nun Tes Amid Beis as we conclude Perek Hazav. Tanu Rabbanan, Hama'anes Ager, if somebody is Ma'ana Ager, specifically Noaz Dvorim, Oiver B'Shleish Lavin, he's Oiver three Lavin. So yesterday we mentioned that if somebody is Ma'ana somebody else, a Noaz Dvorim, there's a special Lisa say in the Torah, V'loisoinu Ishas Amisoi, it's very chomor, as the Torah continues, and says, V'yoreiso me'alekecho, says the Braisa, if somebody's ma'ana oger, meaning oger tzedek, over b'shloisha lavin, he's not just over one lav, but he's over three lavin. V'halwechatzoi, which Rashi explains means, if somebody presses a ger that owes him money for the money that he owes him, over b'shnayim, he's over two lavin. Maishna ma'ana, says the Gemara, how do you know that if someone's ma'ana ger, he's over three lavin? Dichsivi shleisha lavin, you're going to tell me, because it says it three times in the Torah. It says, v'ger lo yisoyna. It says, v'chiyogu itcho ger ba'artzechem lo yisoynu oysoy. And it also says, v'lo yisoynu ishas amisoy. And even though that third pasuk doesn't mention the ger, but it says amisoy, which means any yid, v'ger b'chlal amisoyu. So you have two lavin that talk specifically to the ger. You have a third general lav. As a result, what you're left with is three lavin. If so, says the Gemara, l'chatzay nami, that if someone is malachitz a ger, you should be over three lavin as well. Because shloish shuksivi, v'lo yisil chatzenu, v'ger lo yisil chatz. So those are two psukim that are talking specifically to the ger, if you look up the psukim. And then there's the general idea, v'lo yisil lo kinoisha, v'ger b'chlahu. And then there's a general pasuk, which naturally the ger should be included in. Elo says the Gemara, echad zeh v'shleisha. You're right, you have to tweak the braisa. There is really no difference between someone that's ma'ana ager, oinaz dvarim, and someone that's loichetz ager, meaning he goes after him for money that he owes him. Either way, being that he's a ger, his situation is more chamor, and it's for that reason you're going to be over three lavin. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Agadol Oymeres. We spoke a lot about Rabbi Eliezer Agadol yesterday. We'll speak more about Rabbi Eliezer Agadol yesterday. But now we have a brisa that relates to this idea. V'pnei ma'hazir toira b'lam medvav mekoymes. V'amri lo b'memvu mekoymes beger. Why is it that you find 36 times in the Torah? The Torah discusses this idea that you have to be sensitive to a ger. Some say it's in 46 places. If you look at Rabbi Kivager and Gilyan Hashem, he quotes a Tosfos in Masechtas Kedushin Daf Ayin, where Tosfos had a different girsa, Chof Dalid Mekoymes. But whether it's 24, 36, 46, clearly the Torah is continuously re-emphasizing this point. Why is it so important? You're not allowed to be ma'ana anybody. V'yahavtal reyacha kamoicha means even not the ger. So why did the Torah say v'ahavtal mesager over and over and over again? The Torah tells you how important it is to treat the ger in the right way, and says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, because the foundation of the ger is weak. It's fickle. Now we're concerned that the ger, if he's not treated properly, may easily decide to revert back to his own ways. So there's a lot at stake when it comes to treating the ger properly, and that's why the Torah, 24, 36, 46, over and over and over again, the Torah made the point that you have to treat the ger properly. Says the Gemara, "May dechsev v'ger lo yisoyin of a lo yisal chatzenu ki gerim ho yisem be'eretz Mitzrayim." Several times in the Torah, when the Torah mentions the iser of not treating the ger properly, the Torah gives a reason for it. Ki gerim ho yisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you yid, you landsman, you're ben achaben, you're a benon shal kedoshin, you were once a ger too. We're Be'eretz Mitzrayim. What's the punchline of Kigerim Ayis and Be'eretz Mitzrayim? Rabbi Nosson Eimer, Bum Shabbach, Al-Tayim Al-Khabarach. What the Gemara is trying to say is that if you have a chesaron, if you have a weakness, then don't go and tell someone else about that weakness that you have. So every single yid has in him a little bit of ger. Ki gerim ha'yisim v'eretz Mitzrayim. Thus, mum shabach al teimel chavercho. We'll speak out some Torah about this a little bit later. Fine with Amri Inchi, says the Gemara. That's the explanation in a saying that apparently was well known at the time. The zokif lo skifa b'diyukte. If somebody has a member of his family that was once hung by the government, they killed him. You shouldn't tell your friends, Zokif Benisa, go hang this fish. Stay away from the word hang. That's this idea. You're a ger? Don't talk to somebody else about being a ger. Either way, we'll continue the daf. We'll finish the parak, and then we'll speak out a lot more raid on daf Nuntes Amid Beis. So the Mishnah, now we conclude the parak with two mishnayos that discuss halachas of oinah, how you have to be careful when you do business with somebody. And the truth is, the basic halacha, like many halachas in Talmud Bavli, are really not so relevant b'zman hazeh, but naturally the underlying principles are very much negeya. So these mishnayos and gemaras, we're talking to people that lived in a different world than ours, but the principles, again, I am bepoiskim, naturally apply bizmanenu. Says the Mishnah, if somebody agrees to sell somebody else peiros, and they agreed that the peiros that are going to be sold are going to come from this field, and I'll take peiros from another field. Afilu chadashim b'chadashim. Even if both fields are fields that have new peiros, so there's no difference really with the peiros, but if you agree to sell from this field, you can't sell from the other field. And that's pashit, that chadashim b'yishanim, that if you agree to sell from a field that has older peiros, and now you're going to sell from a field that has newer peiros, that's definitely bad, because the older peiros are more ripe, they're considered to be better. The newer peiros are considered to be inferior. So that's pashit, that if you agree to sell the better, you can't now go and mix in with it newer peiros that are worse. The emes amru, we'll see what those words mean in the Gemara. B'yayin hetiru, when it comes to someone that's selling wine, you're allowed la'arev kashabarach. You're allowed to mix strong wine together with mild wines. If you agreed to sell yayin rach, you're allowed to mix into it yayin kosher. Because it's considered an upgrade, even though that's not what you agreed on. You agreed on yayin rach, halachically you're allowed to add yayin kosher. If you agree to sell somebody wine, you're not allowed to take sediment from the wine and mix it in. But you're allowed to give it its sediment. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious blatant stira one line from the next. Ein ma'arvin shmara yayin? If somebody bought wine, or he owns wine, he produced it, and now he diluted it, he mixed water with it, you're not going to sell it in a store, unless you tell the lekeach that's buying the wine from you that there's water inside, because he may assume that he's buying pure, unadulterated wine, and the truth is, if you have water inside, so you're fooling him. There's a concept of oinah. V'loyle tagar, if you're selling the wine to a merchant, you can't sell him the diluted wine, afal pisha hadiya, even if you tell him that there's water. She'ini el rami spike, because you're not allowed to trust the tagar, that the tagar is going to go tell the person that he now sells the wine to that there's water inside. So you're being goyreim, that somebody on the back end of this is going to be fooled. That's something you're not allowed to do. So if you yourself are going to sell it to the customer, you're a retailer, so as long as you're maidia, the customer, that's okay. But if you're a wholesaler, you're going to sell it to a merchant who's then going to sell it retail, that's a problem. That's all if the minig is where you live that people don't just dilute wine. But if the minig is that people dilute wine anyways, people anyways add water, then it's not an issue. A tagger, a merchant who's selling tefuah, he's allowed to take tefuah from five different gronos, from five different silos. He could put it into one bag, ask it and sell it. Meaning there's no halacha that says that all the tefuah that you, the tagger, sell has to come from the same goyrin. Mehei gitois, let's say you're a tagger that sells wine, you could take wine from five different wine presses, and put it into one barrel and sell it. Ubovad, however, one exception, one caveat, shelo yehei mischaven la'arev. And the way Rashi explains it is that if you tell people that my supplier is the following vineyard, and everyone knows that that vineyard, Yatir, is very chashuv, then you go and you start being ma'ariv, that's a problem, because now you're already misleading people. Meaning if nobody knows where you get your wine, then you could do whatever you want. But if there's a rumor, you advertise, you tell people, chavra chavra islay, that this is my source of supply, then you have to assume that when people buy wine from you, they do it assuming that that's where the wine is going to come from. So if you're now going to do it differently, it's going to be a problem. So there's no obligation to necessarily sell from one goyrin or from one wine press. But if you mislead people, then you misled people. Tanu Rabbanan. So the first halacha of this mishnah was, Ein ma'arvin peiros b'peiros. If you agreed to sell peiros from Sada Pliny, you're not allowed to mix into it from another field. And the Mishnah said, it doesn't matter if both are chadash, meaning afilu chadashim b'chadashim, and certainly chadashim b'yishanim. If you agree to sell older peiros, you can't mix in newer peiros. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. A braisa that added even more to this. When the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to mix newer peiros to the older peiros that you agreed to sell, that's pashid if they're of different values. Meaning if the older peiros are worth more, then the newer, then you're not allowed to do it. That's Pasha. But even if the newer payers are worth more than the older payers, still a ma'arvin. People like buying the older. And even if they have to pay more for it, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. It's not how much money I'm paying for it, whether I'm getting something of equal value to what I thought I was getting or something of lesser value. That's not the punchline. The punchline is that I agreed, I wanted older payers. You have no right to sell me newer payers. But Emes Amru, the Mishnah said, Be'emes Amru, Be'yayin Atiru La'arev, Kosha Berachta, you're allowed to mix strong wine with mild wine. So even though you agreed to buy mild wine, I can mix in a little strong, because it makes it better. Amra B'loza, Ado Amra, it's called Be'emes Amru. Every time it says in a Mishnah, Brisa, the words, Be'emes Amru, Halachi. What it means to say is that this is the Halachas. So even if you're going to find the Brisa somewhere where somebody argues, so the Mishnah, Vahitzi Miliban Shal Tzedaikim, is using the words Be'emes Amru to tell me this is the Halach. Amrav Nachmin, Ubein Akite Shanu. The only time this Halach in the Mishnah is true is only if it was sold before the fermentation process of the wine was complete. So at that point, if you take mild wine and strong wine, you mix it together, mashpichai, it makes it better. That's why you're allowed to mix the strong wine with the mild wine, even though that's not what was agreed on. But if it's already past the fermentation process and now you start mixing wines together, that's not good. So if you're sitting at a dinner table and you start mixing wines, a strong wine and you take a Merlot and a Cabernet and you mix it together, you're not going to have a blended wine. If you ferment it that way, then you will. So just to clarify, says the Gemara, the Mishnah is talking about Bein Hagitais, because that's the only time you're actually going to be Mashpiach. Otherwise, you're just making one big submissionish. The Idna Dekam Ma'arvi Shalei Bein Hagitais continues the Gemara, but nowadays, I've seen Meichrim, they'll mix wines, even Shalei Bein Hagitais, even when the wine is already finished. How do they do that? How does it stim with what Rav Nachman just said? Amar Papa, the other become Machli. Either the buyers know, so they're Moichel, Rab Acha, Breid, Rab Ika, Omar, Hamani, Rab Acha. This is Rab Acha, who's going to come up a few times in today's daf. The Tanya, Rab Acha, Matir, B'davar, Amitnam. Rab Acha said that the only time there's an Isra Yina is if you're really fooling the buyer. So the buyer thinks he's getting X, but he's really getting Y. But over here, says Rab Acha, if the buyer knows, or he will know, what he got, and he ultimately won't be fooled, then there's not going to be a problem. So if people mix wines, any person that knows a little bit about wine, apparently you don't even have to be a connoisseur, you can taste it and you'll know something's wrong with this. He must have mixed two different wines. So to the extent that the buyer's going to know, he could always request to taste it. And when he tastes it, he'll know what's there. So you, the Meicher, didn't do anything wrong. The only time the Meicher was over Israel, there's a big, important Yisayit, the Rabach is teaching us, is if ultimately the buyer has no way of knowing when he buys it, what it is he's buying. But to the extent it's a davar anitam, it's something that you can taste, something you can know, we'll see later, even if it's not tasting, you can know through some other means, then it could be there wouldn't be a problem. The Mishnah said that if you sell wine, you're not allowed to take the sediment of the wine, pour it back to the wine when you sell it. And then in the same breath, the Mishnah said, you are allowed to put it. It seems to be a stira resha. You're going to tell me my noisim le'eshmar. When the Mishnah in its second breath said, you're allowed to put the shmarim inside. It meant to come by delay in the event that you're moidia, the buyer. But being that the seifa said, lo yim kirena b'chanos, elam ke moidia, they're not allowed to sell it in a store unless you moidia him. But leila tagar, you're not allowed to sell to a merchant. Afal pisha moidia. So the next lines in the Brisa are talking about being moidia. Michal de reisha afagaf tole moidia. Clearly the reisha is talking about where you weren't moidia him. And still, on the one hand, the Mishnah said, ey ma'arvin shmari yayin b'yayin. And then, moment later, the Mishnah said, this is the way you read the Mishnah. You're not allowed to take yesterday's shmarim and put it into today's wine. You can't take today's shmarim, put it into yesterday's wine. When the Mishnah says you could put the sediment with the wine, it means this, today's sediment with today's wine. Tanya Namahochi, a bryce that says this mefurish. Rabbi Yudai, Mashayfa Yain, if somebody's pouring wine to his friend, there is Loyarish, Shemesh, Shalamish, Bishalyoy. You cannot take yesterday's sediment and put it into today's wine. Veloishalyoy, Bishalamish. You can't take today's sediment and put it into yesterday's wine. Avamarish, Shalamish, Bishalamish. You could put yesterday's sediment to yesterday's wine, Shalyoy, Bishalyoy, and today's sediment to today's wine. Rashi says that even though the bryce and Rabbi Yudai clearly said that the determining factor is yesterday's versus today's, that's really not the determining factor. Rashi says that the real determining factor, v'yoyim v'emesh lav dafka, v'hu adin l'yoyim v'yot, What then is the point? Two different barrels of wine. So you can take the sediment from the wine that it came from and mix it back with its wine, as opposed to take one bottle of wine sediment and mix it with a different bottle of wine. Usually every day they would process another barrel of wine. So yesterday's sediment probably is related to yesterday's wine, and today's sediment probably is related to today's wine. So if I tell you don't mix yesterday's sediment with today's wine, I'm really telling you don't take the sediment from one bottle and push it and be ma'ariv it into another bottle. But really that's not the point. It's not today versus yesterday. It's more you're allowed to mix sediment with its own wine, or wine with its own sediment, but not wine with another bottle of wine sediment. The Mishnah continued and said, if somebody diluted his wine, he mixed water with it, you can't sell it in a store. And if you're going to sell it to a wholesaler, or if you yourself are a wholesaler, you're going to sell it to somebody else who will then either be a wholesaler or a retailer, but you're not sending it to the consumer, then even if you maidia him, you can't trust the seller. Rava once bought wine from a store. Mazke, he diluted it. Tame, he tasted it. They have a basin. Satum Nishkefelt, he didn't like the way it tasted. Shadri lechanusa, so he sent it back to the store. You're not selling it to the end user. You're selling it now to the person that owns the store, who's like the tagger of our Mishnah. And the Mishnah said, Avo pisha idea. Even if you might idea him, you're not allowed to do it. Amalesa, he told him, Mazgid idi made the idea that I dilute my wine in a way that anyone that tastes it will in a moment know that it was diluted. Thus, there's no chash, you're not fooling anybody. But the Gemara continued and said, the Tafi umechayle, maybe this tagger is going to not want to lose his wine, because it was diluted in a way he's going to have a hard time reselling it. So maybe what he's going to do is he's going to add wine to this taruvos so that it won't be disproportionate in the way that Rava used to drink it, but he'll still be able to take advantage of the water that Rava put inside. Thus, the end user is going to be buying a taruvos with too much water. Rava said it's not a chash. Anyone that, he can't sell wine like this because there's way too much water. Okay, I could play around with the proportions. I could add more wine so that there'll still be water, enough water that I could sell it, but also enough water that I'm fooling the buyer. So he told him back, Rav, Kanan Ludova Slave. If you're going to go down that road, then Ain Ludova Slave. Malkam Shanagul, the Hatal, Mayim, Biyayin, Yatilu. If the minig is to add water to wine, then it's okay. Tana, the Mechza, the Shishalaria, depending on what the minig Hamakim is. If it's to add up to a half of water, then it's okay. A shlish, a third, a quarter. Amarab, Benagite Shanah. This is only true, Benagitois. Again, before the fermentation process. But once it's fermented, if you add water to wine, sitting again on your Shabbos table, you're not diluting it really. Rabbi Huda, you're not in the good way. Another halacha, very interesting halacha. Rabbi Huda said, someone has a store, is not allowed to give children kloyes ve'goyzen. Those were the equivalent of candy and nash back in the day with Tinoikis. Because if you're going to start handing out candy to the little boys and girls that come to your store, you know what's going to happen? They're going to want to continue coming. And you're going to have an advantage over your competition, and you're not allowed to do that. It's an unfair advantage. The Chachamim say, free enterprise, capitalism. What do you mean? That's what you're allowed to do. Additionally, you're not allowed to sell your items too cheap. So the idea of Aina is don't overcharge. You can't undercharge either. You know why? Because you're going to kill the market. Just the opposite. If you're selling greasin, so you have to be careful not to sift the top. Because if you're going to sift the greasin, you're going to charge the buyer, the consumer, for the greasin that you're selling, and you're going to make it look like he's getting something really good, and you're going to overcharge him somewhat disproportionately. So it's for that reason, sell him better the dirty greasin. Don't sell him the greasin that have been really well sifted. It's like this, you're not going to charge him an unfair amount of money. Divrei Abishol. Chalim say, what are you talking about? If you want, you can sift the greasin, and charge the consumer for it. Why is that a problem? We'll see in the Gemara. Everybody gives you can't just sift the top part. I mean, if you want to sift all the grease in, that's one thing. But you're going to sift the top and not the bottom. That's a problem because it looks now like you sifted everything. Really, you didn't sift everything, and now you're a goy nevesayin. In mafarchesin, you're not allowed to put makeup lo yasa adam on a person that you want to sell. What kind of person would you sell? An eved kanani. Velo yasa behema, not a behema. Velo yasa kelim. The Gemara will go into this. My tamayu de rabbanon. What's pshat in the rabbanon? So the Mishnah. We had a machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said, if I'm a moicher, I can't start handing out free things to the little children. Because you're going to get them to come, you're going to give yourself an unfair advantage. Chachamim say, it's okay. What's pshat in the rabbanon? And the Amalei, tell the competitor that has an issue, or let him. I'm handing out a goizen. You have a problem with what I'm doing? I plug shiski. You want to give out fruit. Give out something even better. This is, again, it's free enterprise. You're now allowed to undercut the market. What do you mean? Because at the end of the day, when businesses start competing with each other, we, the buyers, all win. Who are the Chachamim? It's Rabbi Acha. The time Rabbi Acha matir, but anything that's a Dover Anira is not a problem. That was Rabbi Acha we had earlier with the diluted wine. It's not an issue for you to go now and sell the sifted grease. And what are you worried about? You're going to sift the grease and then you're going to overcharge it. It's not like you're fooling me. You'll tell me that the grease costs X amount of dollars. I'll ask you why. You're going to say because it was sifted. So I could sit down and find out, if it wasn't sifted, it's worth $10. Now that it's sifted, it's worth $20. Am I willing to spend an extra $10 for the fact that it's sifted? Oh, shekeno shalo. It's a decision that I have a right to make. But the point is, it's a dover hanira. And if it's a dover hanira, there's no oino. Eim mefarches and lo yasa adam lo yasa kelem. Tonu rabonin. Eim mesharbet and asa behemo. You're not allowed to be mesharbet and asa behemo. We'll see what that means. Ve'im noivchim bikrovayim. You're not allowed to soak its intestines to make it look bigger than it really is. Then shayna sabasar mai. Now let it soak its water, its basar in water. Meaning you're not allowed to make the behemoth look bigger than it is because you're fooling the buyer. My aim b'sharbetin. What does aim b'sharbetin mean? Hocha tirgamu. Over here they explained it. Maya de chizra. You're going to give him water from bran. I guess if an animal would eat that, it would make him look more fat, more plush than it really was. Ziri yomer afkahanu maskafta. They would comb its hair in a way that would make it look fatter. Shmul shara lemirma tumi lesarbala. I read from the art scroll. Shmuel permitted sellers to attach silk fringes to a coat. The idea was to make the coat look better. Rabbi Yehuda shor lekaskusei krami. Rabbi Yehuda allowed people to starch decorated garments. Rabbi shor lemeidak tzrodi. Rabbi permitted sellers to beat canvas in order to make its fibers look finer. Rava shor lemigiri. Rava permitted sellers to paint arrows. It sounds smart when you read from the art scroll. Rapapa Bashmul shor letzlumi dikuli. Rapapa Bashmul permitted sellers to paint wicker baskets. The point is that he would allow sellers to do things to make the items that they were selling look more attractive, even though it was superficial in nature, and he wasn't worried about it. Freik the Gemara of Anan Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Eim Mefarkis in Lo Yasa Adam, V'Lo Yasa Behema, V'Lo Yasa Kelem. Wouldn't this idea seem, at first glance, to contradict the halacha in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, L'Kasha, B'chadit HaBatiki, Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda, and Rabba, and Rav, and Rapapa, these things that we just mentioned, they will only matter it for new things, where you weren't fooling the buyers. Anyways, no. So you're just making it look a little bit nicer. If you take something old and you start doing it, now there could be a real going up because you're taking something old, you're making it look new, the price gap is very dramatic. That's where you potentially run into or you know issue. Says the Marpichos, the Adam Mayhi, what's an example of Im Mefarches and Esa Adam? Obviously, the only person that you, once upon a time, were allowed to sell was the Eved Kanani. So the Mishnah said, you can't make the Eved Kanani look better than it really is. What's an example of Pirchas to Adam? Ki ha, da'ahu avdo saba. There was an old slave. Saba de Rachel Adikne. He dyed his hair, he dyed his beard, and he sold himself on the market as being a young slave. It's a good business model. So Rava said, or he told Rava, Zibnon, buy me. Amalei, so he told him, it's a Mishnah, we have a Messiah that you should try to have Jewish poor people in your house so that if there's a Yid who's an Ani, he can't support his family, buy him as a slave. So I'm a Jew, I have to look out for my own. I'm sorry, you go to someone else. I'm not buying you. He went to Rapapa Bashmul, Zofne. Rapapa Bashmul bought him. Yeh Mechad, one day, Amalei, Rapapa Bashmul tells the Eved, Ashkin Maya, can you please pour me Make me a cup of coffee. Azal chaver the racial dikne. He went and he washed off his hair and he washed off his beard. Amalei, he tells him, Chazid, ano kashish me'avuch. I'm even older than your father, and you're asking me to make you a cup of coffee? So Kara Nafshi, Rapapa realized that at Kekoif Tamafta Yoyna. So he said, Tzadik Mitzora Nechlatz Veyavayachet Achtav. He said, Rava was a tzadik, because he followed the Mishnah of Yehi Aniyim B'nei Beischa. Thus, he was a tzadik Mitzora Nechlatz. He was saved from buying this slave who was a bad guy. I'm the Acher who didn't follow the Mishnah, and as a result, ich hab angefallen with this Eved, and Hadron Halach Hazah. But before we begin, Perek Yizeu Neshech, tomorrow, which of course is the Perek that deals with the Halachas of Ribbis, so I don't know if there's any other five Prokim in Shas that can match Shnai Moichsen, Eilu Metzias, Hamafkid Hazav and Ezer Neshech. It's unbelievable the intensity and the chaymer of the sugyas of each one of these prokem. But before we begin the next parak, just a little bit more light raid regarding yesterday's daf, the sugya of Einos Dvarim, the maisa with Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol, with the Tanner Achnoi. And we'll begin with the brisa that we started with in the beginning of this morning's daf. The Mishnah discussed there's an Isser Oino with a ger. And the Braisa expounded on that. Hamaanis hager over b'shloisha lavin. Rabbi Lez Hagadol Oimer. Mipnei ma'azir ha-Torah b'lab mitvav mekoymes. Ma'amri lo b'men vav mekoymes b'ger. So the Torah over and over and over again talks about how chomer it is for a person to treat the ger properly. And the truth is this, like, idea of the ger, as mentioned so many times in the Torah. One place is Parashas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says, v'ger lo yisoyna, v'lo yisil chatzenu. Why? Kigerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Zokti Ramban ala Torah. What does that mean, Kigerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim? So our Gemara said, Mum shabach al tayim lechaver. Rashi brings it over here. But the Ramban says, al derech hapshat, v'anochem be'enei kiyoymer. You know what the point is? Lo'isoy neger v'lo'isil chatzenu, v'teikosh v'she'en le'matzim yot. Why does a person start up with a ger? Because a ger is a weak link. He's a ger. He doesn't have a lot of family. He's in an uncomfortable place. As a result, it's easy to prey on the ger. Says the Torah, remember you were once gerim in Eretz Mitzrayim? And what happened when Paroi went after you and he was mishabed you? You cried out to me and I went and I saved you. You know why? Because that's what I do. Kani roya dimas ha'ashukim asha ein lohem menachim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love the underdog. And when somebody is beaten up, I go to protect him. And it's for that reason, don't start up with the ger. And you should know that. Ki gerim ha'yisim be'eretz Mitzrayim. You should learn that from your own experience. You were once upon a time gerim. Vayitzaku al Hashem. You didn't really have schusim. But I saved you anyways. You know why? Because you called out to me. And that's what I do. I protect the unprotected. I protect the underdogs. So says Hashem, that's what I'm, the Pasuk saying. You know why? And the Ramban says, that's the Hemshech of the Pesukim. The next Pasuk, don't start up with the Yosef and Almona either. If you're going to chat with them, what's going on if they call out to Hashem? And this is where the Ramban famously says, being that they're weaklings, they understand they can't fend for themselves. So what do? They have no choice but to rely on me. And being that ultimately they rely on me, I'm going to protect them. And this is an idea that Chavis Avavis talks about in his Psichot HaShar B'Tochen, that Hashem looks out for people that rely on Him. It's a quid pro quo. If you're Baiteach and Hashem, Hashem's going to look out for you. The Amon and the Yosem, they have no one to protect them. So what do? They call out to Hashem. What happens when you call out to Hashem? Allah Yiftachu, I'll take care of you. The Ger is the same way. And we should know that firsthand. But I saw in the Chassam Sofer, he says, is that true? Were you a Mitzrayim? I wasn't a Mitzrayim. So what do you mean, Kigerim Yisim Be'eretz Mitzrayim? Our Elta Zaydas and Babas were in Mitzrayim. We weren't a Mitzrayim. Says the Chassam Sofer, the Teretz is, Chayav Adam Liris Es Atzmai, Kihilu, Hu Ba'atzmai Yatzmai Mitzrayim. A person has to see himself as if he went to Mitzrayim. Says the Chassam Sofer, a Dover Noisif. He says, if you have no problem chepping the Ger, you know what that means? means you're not sensitive to the plight of the ger. Why are you not sensitive to the plight of the ger? Oh, because you don't feel kiluhu yatsam imitzrayim. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's another reason why the Torah was so machmer when it came to the ger. Because depending on how you treat the ger, that shows us how much you've been able to internalize the idea of chayav adam liris es atzman kiluhu yatsam imitzrayim, which so much of our yahadus hinges upon. So the idea of Ahavtem as a ger is very much related to the Seder night, to this idea of Chayav Adam Liris as Atzmai, so that to the extent you can feel Ki Ger Mayusim Eretz Mitzrayim, you're not going to be Ma'an of the ger. If you're Ma'an of the ger, obviously you don't feel it. Se felt abyssal in the Amunah. Se felt in your understanding of what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. That's a tam noisif, why you have to be so sensitive. Either way, that's the first aura. The Gemara said that what's the idea of Kigera Yisim Beretz Mitzrayim? Mum Shebach Al Toimer L'Chavercha. So I saw in the Chasam Sofer in Parshas Kedoshim, he says a beautiful taich. What does it mean, Mum Shebach Al Toimer L'Chavercha? You're going to see a ger, you're going to start chepping him. You have that same mum, Kigera Yisim Beretz Mitzrayim. So Chasam Sofer says, Al Derech Drush, I'm going to tell you a different pshat. You know what the pshat is? He says, why does a ger have to really be Magaya? Why can't he remain a non-Jew, practice his religion or his vehicle of spirituality, let him live on a mountain somewhere, not talk for 150 years, and let him connect to Hashem that way? Why does he have to come and be nistoifef betziloi, shall klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to achieve real levels of spirituality? Says the Chasam Sofer, it's based on a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Brachas. After the Chet Ha'egel, Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem that the Shechina should return to Klal Yisrael. But he added a tefillah. What was his tefillah? V'neflinu ani v'amcha. Make our nation different. Says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu was mespalo that the Shechina should return, and he was mespalo shloi tishra Shechina al Evdei Kechavim. That Hashem should not rest the Shechina on the Evdei Kechavim. It says the Chasam Sofer that what's the beer oymik in that? Moshe Rabbeinu was never concerned that Hashem was going to trade in Klal Yisrael for a newer, shinier nation. It was never a concern of his. Why? Why would he do that? We're Bnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. We're Berum HaMailah. Look at the Mesa'ilah. Halalu Evdei Avei Dezara. But the moment Klal Yisrael also worshipped Avodah Zarah, they went ahead and they sinned by the Chet Ha'egel. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned already, because now we're not Beruma, we're not as great as we think we are. So now, what's going to happen if one day Hashem decides that there's another real Chashuva person and he wants his Einaklach to be the one through whom he's going to build a nation? It was a concern Moshe never had, but he had it after the Chet Ha'egel, and that's why he davened Neflin on Yiva Amcha. Make sure that never happens. So says the Chasam Sofer, it's because of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah that Hashem answered that the guy is not shayach to Ashrei Sashchina. It's because of Moshe's tefillah. But had Moshe Rabbeinu not daven, then it would have never happened. Why Moshe Rabbeinu daven? Because of the Chet Ha'egel. That means the fact that this person had to be megayer is all because of the Chet Ha'egel. So if you're going to chep the ger, what essentially you're doing is you're highlighting the fact that he had to be megayer, which was because of the Chet Ha'egel. That's mum shabach. Al Taymel Chavercha, Al Derech Chosh, Azoy Taich, the Chasam Sofer. Just one final point as it relates to the idea of the Ger, just something practical that we can all take away from this, and that is the Chinuch in the end of Mitzvah Tov Lamed Aleph. The Chinuch says as follows: V'yesh lanu lilmoid min haMitzvah haYikara hazois, as a tire mitzvah. We can learn from here an important idea: L'rachim al Adam shu be'ir she'enei eretz miladatay. To show mercy and love to a person that's not be'eretz meiladatoy. Umakam mishpachas avoisa. Yid comes from Eretz Yisrael. There's an idea to be merachim olav. You know why? Because he's a ger right now. He's away from his land. V'lei naver olav aderech b'matzon avoisa yichidi v'rochaku me'olav o'Yisrael. K'moysha anu royim shah. And if a person is going to internalize his midos, niskel yos miruchamim me'Hashem yisbarach u'birchei shamayim yonuchu aroshenu. Amen v'amen. So says the Chinuch that from the idea of ahavtem as ager, there's a principle we can take that really permeates other areas of life as well. The Torah wants you to be nice to the ger. Why? Because he's uncomfortable. So if you see a yid that's in an uncomfortable place, be merachim on him. It It's true the Torah means dafka the ger tzedek. And there's no mitzvah of havas ager b'chav dalud mekoymes b'lamid vav mekoymes. If you're a ger, like Avraham Avinu said in this week's parasha, ger v'toyshev anoichi. There's no mitzvah saseis the iraisa. But the idea, the spirit of the law, certainly applies to that as well. But either way, just a nice chenach. That's the first general ha'ara. The second ha'ara is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. So we had here the Gemara of the Tanur Achnoi. It began with a machloikis regarding a certain Tanur. Is the Tanur Tahar? Is it Shaykh to be Mekabel Tumah? It's not Shaykh to be Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Eliezer said Tahar. The Chachamim said Tomeh. Hikifu bedvarim ka'achno v'temu. And Rabbi Eliezer put on this spectacular performance of Nisim v'neflois, unbelievable miracles, Achiyotza Basko, and said that the Allah is like Rabbi Eliezer, but Chachamim Uberoshim, Rabbi Shul wasn't impressed. And he said, Torah Leib Shamayimi, and as a result, I'm not going to be impressed. What's interesting is that this Gemara right here, Bavim Tzia Dafnun Vava Mebeis, is very much related to the Machloikis Beishamai and Beisol. The Gemara says, in Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Amir Ababa Amar Shmuel. Sholoi Shonim Nechelku Beishamai Beisol. For 3 years, the Talmidim of Shammai and the Talmidim of Philul argued. Halalu Oimrim, Halacha Kimayseinu. The Halalu Oimrim, Halacha Kimayseinu. Each one said, Halacha is like them. Yotza Baskel, Baskel came out of Amr and said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei l'kim chayim, the Halacha Kimayseinu. Why is Halacha like Beisol? Because they were Bali Midois. And the word goes on to say why the Baskel chose Beisol. But they argued 3 years, until the Baskel came and said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei l'mchaim. Incidentally, what does this mean? Halalu oimrim halacha k'mayseinu, v'halalu oimrim halacha k'mayseinu. Obviously, each one felt the halacha is like them. Take every machlekes b'sham b'sil. B'sham I said, I believe a b'yish and all the b'yantif is like this. B'sil says a b'yish and all the b'yantif is like that. I hold this is the shir sukkah. I hold that's the shir sukkah. Halacha k'mayseinu sounds like it was an independent machloikis. In addition to each individual machloikis b'shaim b'sol that you have throughout Shas, there was this general machloikis that they fought about for 3 years. All right, so we can agree to disagree. There's 500 areas in halacha where we argue. I just made up that number. B'shamai says, halacha k'mayseinu. And b'sol says, halacha k'mayseinu. What's that additional machloikis? So I saw the Teres Chaim says that the machloikis was whether quality versus quantity. Roiv HaKamus versus Roiv HaEichos. Because we know that Beis Hillel was the Roiv. That's the Metzias. We'll see now more about that in the Rishonim. Beis Hillel was the majority. There were more Talmidim from Beis Hillel than there were from Beis Shammai. But the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos that the Talmidim of Shammai were Mechadet Yitveh. They were sharper. So quantitatively speaking, Beis Hillel was the majority. Qualitatively speaking, Beis Shammai was the majority. Beis Hillel was the Roiv HaKamus. Beis Shammai was the Roiv HaEichos. And that was the argument. Meaning they said, okay, listen, we agree to disagree. We can't move further. But there has to be a halacha. What's the halacha? So Beis Hillel said, halacha k'mayseinu, with the Roiv HaKamus. Beis Shammai said, halacha k'mayseinu, with the Roiv HaEichos. It's interesting, Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Sfarim is very mirich. He works through a lot of different areas in halacha with this idea. Is it Roiv HaEichos or Roiv HaKamus? Quality versus quantity. Which one is common? One of the things that Ishtel Su is something that we spoke about 2 days ago. I heard this from my father's Rabbi, Yosef Ernst HaShlita. And that is the Chilush Eish by Sakana on Shabbos, and there's two options. There's an option to shech the animal on Shabbos and Vimachal Shabbos. There's another option to give him Nevela, which is only a Chayvi Lavin. What do you do? So it's a Machlekes Rishayim. The Machaber says you shech the animal. But really, it's a Machlekes Rishayim. What's the Shaila? He said, this is the Shaila. Reva Eichos, Reva Kamos. To shecht an animal is Reva Eichos. It's one Maisa Avera, but it's a very chomer to get Maisa Avera. It's Chilul Shabbos. To eat the Nevela is Roiv HaKamus. For every Kezias Nevela that you're going to eat, you're going to be Yoyver Nisser. So which one is worse? Is it Roiv HaKamus or is it Roiv HaEichos? Yaakov Bienenfeld emailed me that the truth is this idea that we find, we mentioned that, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to eat the, you're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos, and you're not supposed to eat the Kezias. Why? Because by Kezias, you're overall called Kezias for Kezias, and we spoke out, the Pashup Shad is that if you do even a small Aveira many times, it's more Chomer than if you do one large Aveira. He said the same thing is true by mitzvahs. You find it by the mitzvah of Tzedakah, that if you have an opportunity to give one large donation, or you can give several smaller donations, you're supposed to give several smaller donations. It's the same idea. Because every small mitzvah cumulatively adds up, and the sum is going to be greater than its parts. Just like every kezayis for kezayis adds up to something more chomer than the chayvi mitzvahs bezdin, so too every small mitzvah. You find the same exact thing when it comes to mitzvah. But either way, that's reva kamas versus reva echos. To shecht on Shabbos, that's reva echos. To eat a kezayis, I'll call kezayis for kezayis, that's reva kamas. That was the shayla, reva echos, reva kamas, and that was the halalu oimrim, halalu oimrim, meaning we know we don't agree on anything. But the bottom line is, there has to be a halacha. Beisul said with a reva kamas. Beishamai said with a reva echos. But either way, how was the machloek of Shabbos resolved? It was resolved with a baskel. There's a Gemara in the beginning of the 8th parak of Masechtas Brachos. Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The 8th parak of Masechtas Brachos begins with one long Mishnah, whole bunch of different machloekes in Beis Shammai Beisil regarding Hilchos Shabbos, how you make Avdolah, how you make Kiddush, some nice, interesting halachas. And at the end, the Gemara brings a braisa and says, V'halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. Afraid to Gemara Pshita. Of course the halacha is like Beis Hillel. The halacha is always like Beis Hillel. Danafka baskel, says the Gemara, Iba Yaseima Kaidim baskel. Maybe this price was taught before the baskel. The Iba Yaseima Acha baskel for Rabbi Yeshua. The Tana, this price is Rabbi Yeshua, the Omar who holds, a mashkichin be baskel. There's a Rabbi Yeshua out there in Shas that said, I'm not in the spoil from baskel. Says Rashi, tap Rashi in Brochus Nun Bezam and Aleph. Who's this Rabbi Yeshua? Bava Mitzia, Betanu Shalachnoi, the Perakazov. It's Unzer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was the one Tana that was mentioned. He was the Rabban Shal Hachachonim. During this event, he was taking on his compadre throughout Shas, Rabbi Eliezer. Says Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer going at it, and Rabbi Yeshua is the one who tells Rabbi Eliezer, "Ich bin nicht nisvah from the baskel, because emashkicham the baskel." Teres lebeshamayimi. So Rabbi Yeshua in the sugi of Tanar Achnoi, he's the one that holds emashkicham the baskel. Based on that, Freik Tosfos, I have a theory there, because we know that Rabbi Yeshua and Perakazov of yesterday's daf was right. Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti throughout Shas. Rabbi Eliezer was putting chayim. We never paskel Rabbi Eliezer because of this Gemara over here. Meaning, we agree with Rabbi Yeshua Emashkichem Abaskel, but yet we paskel like Beis Hillel. Why? We just learned the Gemara. Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Yotz Abaskel. So are we Yamashkich Abaskel? Are we not Mashkich Abaskel? So Tosfos says, a teretz, a real Tosfos, you have to say that there's a chilik between the two baskels. The baskel in Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis was supporting Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel was the Reuv. You just said Beis Hillel was Reuv Akamos. He was the Reuv. The Baskel in Perakazov was supporting Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer was the minority. He was the Yachid that was arguing against the Chachamim. When a Mashkichim the Baskel, when it's going Keneged a Reuv? If it's supported by the Reuv, Mashkichim the Baskel. So Tosfos says a Teretz. It could be there's a Baskel and there's a Baskel. It depends not on the Baskel, but on what it's coming to determine. If it's going Keneged a Reuv, a mashkichem b'baskel. That's bavim tzion and tazam abes. If it's supporting a roiv, mashkichem b'baskel. That's erevin yud gimel abes. But Tosfos says if that's true, then go back to the Gemara. How do you understand the Gemara? The Gemara said that this brisa that had to say halacha k'beis Hillel, hamani Rabbi Yeshua. It was Rabbi Yeshua. Meaning, because Rabbi Yeshua holds a mashkichem b'baskel. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, we don't know for sure that the halacha is like beis Hillel. So I need a brisa to tell me. You just said now that from Rabbi Yeshua and Perek Azov, you have no raya to Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis, because that Emashkichem Abaskel was because it was Keneged a Reuv, and our Baskel is supporting the Reuv of Beis Hillel. Otherwise, it's Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. Azoy Freik Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos says a Teretz. But I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chedoshim, on Masechtas Brachos, Daf Nun Beis, he's Mitzayin two Rishonim that say, in my opinion, a Davar Niflo, based on a Gemara. In the Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. We learned this Gemara together once upon a time. The Gemara over there is discussing a very complicated Tumah V'Tahiris. Some of the sugis in the beginning of the third paragraph of Chagiga from the most difficult Gemaras in Shas. And the Gemara over there says that there was Machloekes B'Shan Beisil regarding a certain area in Tumah V'Tahiris, and Rabbi Yeshua spoke very sharply Keneged Beis Shammai. Yeshua really didn't understand Shitas Beis Shammai. And then the Gemara tells, to the point that the Gemara tells a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Boishni Midrech Beis Shammai, I'm embarrassed from you. That I think that your opinion is so wrong that I'm literally embarrassed. And the Gemara says it was a Talmud Echa, Mitalmid Beis Shammai, and he explained to Rabbi Yeshua what the understanding of Shitas Rabbi Yeshua is. And Rabbi Yeshua heard that Zeu Taimon Shal Beis Shammai Miyad immediately Holach Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua went to Neshtatach Al Kivri Beis Shammai, and he lie down, Al Kivri Beis Shammai. Omar, he said, Nonesi Lochem Atzmeis Beis Shammai. I sin towards you, Beis Shammai. And he continued, and he said, Umas Tumet Shalachem Kach. Madach, something that I thought for sure made no sense. I realized that you were right and I was wrong. Mefurosha is Alachas Kama Vekama. certainly things that do make sense, you must have been right. Amru kol yom of hushkur shina of mipnei tani yosef. He spent the rest of his life betainus because of the way he spoke keneged b'shamay. So it brings the Megadim Chadashim from the Ravya in a tshuva and from one of the Bali Toises that they both said that, you know what the end of this story is? What does Rabbi Yeshua say? I realize now, Beishama, you're right. Rabbi Yeshua joined the camp of Beishama. Rabbi Yeshua was Mitalmid Beishama. It happened right here. There's a before and after. He went from to the point where he said, and Rabbi Yeshua came around and he joined Beishama. Says the Rav Yoh, and that's what the Gemara means in Brachas. When the Gemara says Rabbi Yeshua holds a mashkichim a baskel, we're not referring to our Gemara. We don't mean Bava Metzion on Tassam the days. Our Gemara is not a tushtel. Our Gemara was keneged a roi. Maybe over there a mashkichim a baskel. That was what the Gemara said. We believe achir rabba mahatos. The baskel keneged a roi is not believed. But a baskel that's anyway supported by the roi, that maybe you would be believed. You know how you know that Rabbi Yeshua holds a mashkichim a baskel even when you're supported by the Rav, this Rabbi Yeshua, the fact that Rabbi Yeshua was able to join Beis Shammai, so he say Meres, he holds a mashkich. I'm not nispol from the Baskel that says Alocha Gebesol. So to him, it's open. It's a discussion. Do I agree with Beis Shammai? Do I agree with Beis Shammai? But there is, you can't join Beis Shammai if you're mashkich with Baskel. So from the fact Rabbi Yeshua joined Beis Shammai, must be Rabbi Yeshua holds a mashkich in the Baskel. So I think what's interesting about this is that we know that Rabbi Eliezer, we didn't get a chance to speak about this. This go around. But Rabbi Eliezer, the Rishonim all say, as a beer in yesterday's daf, was Shamuti because he was Talmidei Beis Shammai. Rabbi Tarfon, the Gemara says, at the end of the first paragraph of Masechtas Yevamos, was Talmidei Beis Shammai. We learned the Rashi together, not long ago, in the Flamet Ches and Perek HaMafkid, where Rashi says a Dover Mavel, that Rabbi Akiva was Talmidei Beis Shammai. And now we have here Rishonim that say that the great Rabbi Yeshua was Mitalmide Beis Shammai. So we're soon going to have to figure out who was Mitalmide Beis Hillel. But the point is, you have Gedoyle Atanam that were Talmide Beis Shammai. We'll just conclude with one note, and that is that we saw in yesterday's daf the power of Tachman, that Rabbi Eliezer's wife wouldn't allow Rabbi Eliezer to do Nefilas Apayim because she knew that when Rabbi Eliezer goes Tachnon, he's going to be Betzar, he's going to be in a place where he will start feeling the pain of that incident that took place and bad things could happen. The Kachava, her brother, Rabbi Gamliel, was Nifter Dafka at a time where Rabbi Eliezer was saying Tachnon. So you see this unbelievable Koyach of Tachnon. But the truth is, it's a very shvera Kasha with yesterday's daf. So what did she try doing? She tried preventing Rabbi Eliezer from ever saying Tachnon. How was it? Rabbi Eliezer wasn't going to say Tachnon? Did he say Ashur Velitzian? Did he say Berchus Kriyishma? Why wouldn't he say Tachnon? Everybody, unless he's Chassidish, you say Tachnon. So what does it mean Rabbi Eliezer wasn't going to say Tachnon? Of course Rabbi Eliezer was going to say Tachnon. So how do you understand Pashup Shach? So the Poiskim are all mechich from here, one of two things. And you take a look in the Poiskim, there's really two halachos gedolos, and could be even both, that come out of this Gemara. Number one, the Mechaber says, Ein ledaber ben tefilo ben tefilo sapayim. You shouldn't talk between Shemayna Esrei and when you say Tachnon. You ever knew that? Don't talk between Shemayna Esrei and Tachnon. Why? I'll read to you from the Mishnah Berurah. The Ayideze ain't Tchinosoi Shemeschane Benefilas Apayim Miskabelas Kolkach. Because if you do that, you lose a lot of the potency of Tach. Says the Mishnah Berurah. The Dafko Kishamavsig Beis Vivar Machem Legan. Avol Sicha Ba'al Malesim. It's interesting. Small chatter, that maybe is okay. The Koshkein Dilu Dover Kedusha. Certainly for Dover Kedusha, you can be Mavsig. Kigur Masha Mavsigin Betchines Gigem Hurachon Vavade Mutul Havsig. Vafilu Betoich Nefilas Apayim Gam Kein Mutul Anis Omen Yehesh Meirab of Chal Dover Shem Kedusha. Mishnah Berurah says, you're allowed to say Yehesh Meirab even during Tachnon. Incidentally, it's Loshem Mutter. It's a funny Loshem. So I saw in the Dish of Mishnah Berurah on the side, they're being from Chaim Kanievsky. It's not Mutter, it's Chayev. But either way, you see from the Mishnah Berurah, it's not so poshut to be mafsik. What's it based on? It's based on poiskim. It's Yosef, Magen Avram. It's based on the poiskim on the page. It comes from our Gemara. Because say the poiskim, Avada give this. There's a chiyuv to say Nefilas Apayim. But the koyach of Nefilas Apayim is to say right after Shemayna Esrei. And that was the point. The wife, Rabbi Eliezer, knew that, and she was just trying to be mafsik, Rabbi Eliezer, right after Shemayna Esrei. Just do something. Don't say Tachnon right away, because the special koyach that Tachnon has is right after Shemayna Esrei. Other bring a raya from here that the whole Tachnon is a rishos. It's not a chayva. There's no chiyuv to say Tachnon based on this Gemara. Because if it was a chayva, then how would you understand Pashup Shad in this Gemara? But I'll just conclude with two short ha'aras. Number one, it's just kedai to mention that the Kapitel Tilim, Rachum v'chanan chatasi, that kapitel of Tachnun is the kapitel that David HaMelech said for Refuah Shleima. In fact, I saw once in the Chassam Sofer, Mesach Shabbos, Tavkuf Men Zayin Amid Beis, when he talks about Iyar, is Rosh HaTevis, Ani Hashem Reifecho. See, he says the last four words of that kapitel is Oivai Yoshuvu Yevoshu Raga. It's Rosh HaTevis Iyar. It's because Iyar is Ani Hashem Reifecho. It's this time that's Mesugal Refuah. So Nefilas Apayim is this unbelievable Eis Rotzen, and Rachum V'Chanon seems to be a parak in Tehillim that's related to Nefilas Apayim. But one other note on this idea that you'll never look at Tachnun the same way, and that is that on Mondays and Thursdays we say Vehu Rachum. So you know there's a very interesting rest of the story related to Vehu Rachum. It's quoted by all the Poskim that bring a story from the Kolboy. I'll just read it to you inside and we'll conclude with this. Ma'isa Shahoya, Besfina Shal Yehudim, there was a boat that had Jews on it. Shabo Migolos Yerushalayim, B'makam Shal Yesham Agoyim, they ended up in some land. V'amar Lehem Eiz U'ma'atem, and the Moishel in this land asks these Yidin, tell me, Me'ayim Basen, who are you? Anulei Me'am Yehudim, we're Jews, we're coming from Yerushalayim. Amar Lehem, he told them, Atem Yehudim, if you're Jews, and he writes a Lenasi Seschem, I want to test you, K'moishen Yisu Eschem, Nani Mishol V'azayim, D'chkiv Shoneish. Really? You're Jews? I've heard this story about Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. I'm going to throw you into a kivshan and esh. Let's see what kind of Jews you really are. If Hashem is going to protect you the way he protected them. On Uloi, they told him, Tainon Uzman, Lachshev Shloshim Yoim. Give us 30 days to prepare for this. Then Yoshvu Betainas. They sat Betainas. V'chol Yoim, Masha Yoroim, Machalon, Meiseim, Hoyim, Masapluf Neachal. They would have dreams every night, and they would repeat the dreams that they had. Shlimu Alamed Yoim. The 30 days ended. V'yusham Zokin, Echacha Yoreichet. V'yoyachachim Kol Kach Betayr. There was one Altiyid. It was a chasheva, poshet the yid, but it wasn't a Talmud Chacham. Sha'amar, he said, Ra'isi b'chaloimi, I saw my dream after the 30 days. Shekaru pasuk echad, they said a pasuk, I don't remember the pasuk, but Shayikasa by pamayim ki, the pasuk had the word ki in it mentioned twice, u'shloish apamim loy, and it had the word loy metan aleph three times. But any other day is, I just don't know the pasuk. Another one of the skenim who was a chacham told him, I know which pasuk it is. Mikra zeh vadayhu. She'ozal l'cho min ha-shamayim. It's Yeshaya, Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Beis. The pasuk says as follows. Ki savar b'mayim. If you're going to have to cross the water, itchani, I'm going to be with you. U'bana horos, lo yishtafucha. You're not going to drown in the nahar. Ki selech b'moyesh. If you're going to have to go through fire, lo yisikotha. You won't burn. V'lahava lo yisivabach. And the fire, the flames won't have any power over you. He told him, obviously, they're telling you, Min HaShemayim, that you could jump into the fire, everything is going to be okay. Ato, you vade tikonus lechesh v'tinotza. The vade Min HaShemayim, that was what they were trying to tell you. This pasuk right here. Mitam ha-heg yinotza ish gedoylo. He went ahead and he made this fire. And he threw the Zokin into the fire, meaning he's the one that's going to do it. And when he went into the fire, an unbelievable miracle happened. And it divided into three groups. Maybe connected the three times that it says loy. Or maybe Chananya Mishael v'Azariah. V'rosh nichnasu b'teicha shloisha tzadikim nekrosay. Chananya Mishael v'Azariah. V'elu ha-shloisha tzadikim. These three tzadikim that came to greet this Zokin during this unbelievable miracle that took place, Shibchu, they sang Shirat Hashem, V'omru, and they said, V'hu Rachum. Harishayin Omar, the first one said, Ad Ono Melech Rachum V'chanun, that's one part of V'hu Rachum. Hasheni Omar, Ad Ein Kamoicha, V'hashlishi Misham V'halon, he finished saying Tachnun. Either way, you see from here, the special powers of Tachnun.
The following raid bite is being added to the daf as in Yana Dioma.
I just want to be Messiah with a Davar Nifla that I heard from my good friend Levi Chomsky, who told it to me, B'shem, Echad Mimnei HaChabura, Ha'avrei HaChoshev, Rabbi Yishaya Kahn. And this is a Metzia Neura in the Shailos HaTshuvas Pri Yitzchak. So the author of the Shailos HaTshuvas Pri Yitzchak, of course, was Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser, who was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and very famous in terms of his Musar and the Shmuzin and the Sefer Koich Veyar. But he was also one of the Ga'onei Yoylam, and he's the author of the Shailos HaTshuvas Pri Yitzchak. So Rabbi Itzel, in that shtickle, was discussing a halacha that we're going to learn in Perek Kol Shah. You're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach. The Gemara says that if someone's mevashel the carbon pesach, gets malchus. You over a loisa say it's a lav sheish by maisa. You're not allowed to cook the carbon pesach. What about if somebody decided to cook the carbon pesach b'chamit tveria? So the Gemara says pesach shebishle b'chamit tveria chayv. If you cook the carbon pesach with the chamit tveria, you're going to be chayv. So Itzler brings a veltz kasha. He said, how is it possible to be chayv for cooking the carbon pesach in the chamit tveria?
Where was the Chami Tveria? It was in Tveria. The Korban Pesach was Kachin. It was Kachin Kalin, which means its Kedusha is somewhat more lenient, but at the same time, you can't take it outside of Yerushalayim. If the Korban Pesach is taken outside of Yerushalayim, it becomes possible b'yotze. So, Freik, Rabbi Tzalah, Makshin Oilom, how is it possible to cook the Korban Pesach in the Chami Tveria? If you took the Korban Pesach, the Tveria, it's not a Korban Pesach anymore. It's possible. It was Nifsal B'yotz. Elamai, you know what you did? You took a cup of very hot water from the Chami Tveria. You brought it with you to Yerushalayim, and you brought the Chami Tveria to Yerushalayim. Problem is, then it's a klisheni. A klisheni is not mavashal, so you weren't over the Issavishal. So Mitzvah said that the Yerna Velts Kasha, how is it possible to mavashal the Chami Tveria? If you brought the Pesach to Chami Tveria, it was Nifsal B'yotz. And if you brought the Chami Tveria to Yerushalayim, then it's already a klisheni. The Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos, Daf Mem, the Gemara discusses if someone's mevashel on Shabbos b'chami Tveria. That's a good shaila. You're chayv if you cook on Shabbos in Tveria. You're chayv if you cook on Shabbos anywhere in the world. So that's a good shaila. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Pei Zayin or Yeridei and Hilchas Basa B'chalav discusses, you're not allowed to cook Basa B'chalav. What if someone cooks Basa B'chalav with the chami Tveria? It's a nice shaila. Is it called Bishol or is it not called Bishol? Oh, but v'negei the Korban Pesach, it doesn't work. Because the Korban Pesach had to be in Yerushalayim. Elamai, you brought the chami Tveria to Yerushalayim. So if you brought Yerushalayim, it's already klisheni. A klisheni is the name of Asher. So after a whole pilpul, said Rabbi Itzalah, and this is the maybe Musser component of who Rabbi Itzalah was. He says, because the Gemara says in Masech Tis Psochim, Daf Ches Amid Beis, that why is it that the Chami Tveria are in Tveria? Why are the Chami Tveria not in Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because if the Chami Tveria would have been in Yerushalayim, you know what happened? The Oile Regalim would go up to Yerushalayim, and they would recognize, you know what they would see? They would see the Chami Tveria. And they wouldn't even, they would miss the boat. So, Kadesh la you, Oilu Regalim, Oimrim, Umali Loyalinu, Elo Lirchis, Bechami Tveria, Dayenu, Venimsis Aliyah, Shloy Lashma, it's gonna mess up the whole Aliyah, the Regal. So, the Abish to purposely put it in Tveria, so it shouldn't distract the Yidden that are going to be Oilu Regal. So, Rabbi Tzalah said, Vaistois, really the Chami Tveria was supposed to be in Yerushalayim. Really, they were supposed to be in Yerushalayim. Narvas. What are you going to do? It's going to be a distraction. He said, when Mashiach ben David's going to come and he's going to reveal himself, it's going to be Umalar, it's Deya. The Yidden are going to come to a matziv where they're going to understand what the emes is. And they're not going to get sidetracked by some of the superficialities. You know what's going to happen? The Chami Tveria is going to be knocking in Yerushalayim. You're going to go up to Yerushalayim and there's going to be Chami Tveria. That's where it's going to be Negev, the halacha of Hamavashal b'Chami Tveria. He says, you're right, it's not Negev, the halacha. But this is something that's a hilchas of the Mashiach. That's where it's going to be Negeya. Like you say, Yubanaves HaMikdash, then there's going to be Chami Tveria in Yerushalayim. Because the time of the Gemara is going to be null and void, because then you're not going to have to worry about it. But I was just thinking, just one takeaway from this daf, and that is you see what the Inyan of Aliyah L'Rega was. Right, you're Aliyah L'Rega, you see the Abish, the Kla, you're Ani Yodim V'chai, you're Rab Tzadik HaKoyin, B'Shem De'Ishbitzah, Heilige Rebbe, that Nusach, or Rab Yaakov Emdin, Aspaklaya HaMe'ira, Aspaklaya She'ena Me'ira, whether it's L or whether it's S. But the idea of being Oyla Regal was to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of being Oyla Regal was to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the most spiritual event that you can even fathom if you explain a little bit what it meant to be Oyla Regal. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kalei Yerani Yodim V'chai, said Reb Tzadik. Oh, but Yid, I feel a poshid Yid, Sholish Pama Bashoni Yeirah Kol Schorcha. But what happens if there would be Peres Kinoiser and if there would be Chami Tver, you would miss the boat. It's incredible how vulnerable we are and how easy it is to miss the boat. You can literally be in the presence of the Shechina, but the Chami Tveria and the Peres Kinoiser can get in the way. But that said, Rabbi Itzalah, that's only now. Now we live in a world of distractions. We live in a world where we're unfortunately we're ktanei haseichel sometimes and we miss the boat. She says, then already it's going to be umalar, it's deya. You're not going to have to worry about this. And then Yerushalayim is going to be perfect. Yerushalayim is going to have the Peres Kinoiser. Yerushalayim is going to have the Chami Tveria. And at the same time, the Yidden are going to be able to fully appreciate, fully take in what it means, Sholish Pama Bashani Eira, Kol Schurcha. They're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to feel seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's no distraction in the world that's going to be able to take away from that.